Last week when we left David, you remember he had separated himself from the presence of God because of the fear and the anger that he had towards the Lord for what happened to Uzzah. David placed himself in a position where he was judging God for the providences that God had placed in his life, providences that he did not understand at that point. And as a result, as he's interpreting these providences and finding himself frustrated and angry with God, what he does is he pushes God's presence away. He does not want to have God in his presence. David, we see today, is going to repent of that. The scriptures tell us nothing of what that repentance looks like. It's just almost as though the whole chapter shifts. It's gone from David pushing away God in anger and in frustration to Obed-Edom being blessed and his family being blessed, and then David hearing the news of that blessing and again desiring the presence of God. So today we're going to consider 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. And as we consider this text today, I want you to ask yourself about being before God. Last week we asked something similar as we talked about being in the presence of God and how there's these three different experiences of being in the presence of God. You remember Uzzah and David and Obed-Edom each had very different experiences as they were in the presence of God. And some minimize the presence and some despise it like David did, and yet Obed-Edom flourishes in the presence of God. And today what we're going to do is we're going to focus on David following this repentance, and we're going to see something of the fruit or the results of that repentance in his life. You know, the Lord Jesus calls each one of you to a life of faith and repentance as well. Jesus calls each one of you to this life, and here in these lessons from David, they can help you to understand something of what your experience as a Christian may be. What does standing before the Lord as you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, what does that standing before the Lord produce in you as a believer? We're going to look at that. And we're going to begin by looking at verses 12 through 15. In verses 12 through 15, we see that in David, standing before the Lord produces humility. It produces humility. I would draw your attention to verses 12 through 15. It begins, "And it was told King David, the Lord had blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of God had gone six steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fatted animal, and David danced before the Lord with his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and sound of the horn." So what we have here is that David is bringing the ark into Jerusalem. You remember the psalm that we just sang. He's building that house for the Lord. Now, you hear that text, and maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, Pastor Nathan, why did you choose humility as the topic when clearly rejoicing should be what we have before the Lord? You know, maybe you're thinking that because we're stodgy and reformed, we swap out humility for rejoicing. But I want you to see that even David's rejoicing is in the context of humility. Let me show you that. Verse 13, we have the phrase, those who bore the ark. And they begin this journey. They're holding the ark, and they take six steps, and then they offer sacrifices before the Lord. The book of 1 Chronicles 15 gives us a bigger picture of what is going on in this story. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, 1 Chronicles 15, but I would commend that to you. It gives greater insight as to what's going on in this portion of the text. But listen to a couple of verses from that. This is in the context of the ark moving into Jerusalem. It begins with David saying, "Consecrate yourselves, you and your brothers, so that you may bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place that I have prepared for it. Listen, because you did not carry it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not seek him according to the rule. So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, and the Levites carried the ark of the Lord on their shoulders with poles as Moses had commanded them according to the word of the Lord." So what we see, even though we do see rejoicing, we see celebration, we see dancing, it's all in the context of this humility as David puts himself under the Word of God. Now I want you to think about this. David is here more careful with the Word of God than he was last time, isn't he? He actually is consulting the Word, and he's looking at the Word, and he's saying, here's what God requires as we do this. Because last time we didn't consult the Word of God, and we did this, and it ended in destruction of our brother. But what is the common thing between the two narratives, the first part of 2 Samuel 6 and the second part of 2 Samuel 6? Rejoicings in both, isn't it? David rejoices, yet he doesn't consult the Word of God, and it's not with humility under the Word of God. And it results in something destructive. And here in this portion, he does rejoice, but it's with humility as the Word of God is consulted. This time David gave instruction to the Levites from the law of Moses, and he says that the ark has to be carried according to the rule, and he confesses God's displeasure. So rejoicing in both weeks, but the difference is there is care and there's humility this week under the Word of God. Friends, are you humbled under God's Word? When you read God's Word or you hear God's Word read or preached, you find yourself coming under the Word of God. As you study the Scriptures, as you're corrected by the Scriptures, are you humbled? Or do you fight against that? You say, well, you know, that's just your opinion, or that's just what this ancient book says, or there's so many interpretations of that passage. But you find yourself humbled under God's Word. Is the Word of God your only rule for faith and life? Do you seek to approach God through the Word of God, which is breathed out for us? David humbles himself under God's Word, knowing that he cannot truly be in the presence of God any other way than what God sets out for him. I want you to see that humility in something else as well. When David celebrates and dances before the Lord, he does so wearing a linen ephod. We see that in verse 14. Now, this is not the ephod of the priest. That's important to understand. David isn't swapping out kingly clothing for priestly clothing. What David is doing is he is swapping out his kingly garments that show that he is king for the common clothes of the common man. And we know that this causes controversy. We'll see that with Michael, but she looks down and she doesn't see a group of commoners in linen ephods and then a king glowing with garments that are beautiful in the midst of those common people. She spots David and he's dressed like everybody else. See, David humbles himself before God. David has a right to wear the kingly garments. He has a right to stand before God as God's chosen ruler, the one that would come to represent Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. But instead, what he does is he stands before God like anyone else, humbled in common clothing. We know even the Lord Jesus, when he took on flesh, he humbled himself by putting off those kingly garments that he would have had a right to wear. And he takes on humility. This is something that David is pointing us to, isn't it? You see, being in the presence of God and before the face of God, it ought to humble you. Friends, as you come to worship, do you worship through your position in life? Or do you worship God with acknowledging what a great education you have, or how much value you have in your checking account, or how attractive you are? Friends, we come before God all equal, don't we? We come in a sense with nothing. We come all wearing that linen ephod that says that we are all but common men and but common women standing before the presence of a holy God. That's humility. Being before the Lord produces humility. But I also want you to see that it produces something else. In verses 17 through 19, we see that being before the Lord produces gratitude. It produces gratitude. That text says that they brought in the ark of the Lord and they set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And when David finished the offerings and the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he distributed among the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, a cake of bread, a portion of meat, a cake of raisins to each one. And the people departed each to his own house. So David, as he's standing before God, he's not only standing with humility, but we see this gratitude as well. And where does this gratitude begin? It begins with worship. Friends, worship is the highest expression of gratitude that any of you could offer to God. And that's what David does. I mean, there's so many things that you could offer before the Lord. So many things. But what is central to our offering and central to your gratitude for redemption in Jesus Christ, your reasonable service is worship. The Ark of the Covenant comes to the city of David. This tabernacle is erected for the first time in a whole generation. We don't know, but maybe so much of it would have had to have been patched and maybe even made new. You think about this tent is a large portion of it is cloth. It's just been sitting in some barn for 20 years. It would only be miraculous if it could be unraveled and it not be full of rat chews and moth holes. So this tent is erected and all of this cloth is most likely restored. And there in the middle of it is the Ark of God, that which represents God dwelling with His people. Like Revelation 21 that we read, as we come before God and God's presence and glory is in the midst of His people, it's going to be as if everything is made of jewels and everything is made of gold. This is what David is reflecting here. And he worships. Bulls offered, burnt offerings, peace offerings. Of course, this is done through the Levites. David doesn't do this himself. He has this done. He's the king, and he's having the priests do their work. But he acknowledges that he is before the presence of God, before the face of God. And he worships. Friends, do you see worship as a central expression of your gratitude to God? You think about the fact that you're a Christian. You say, yes, I'm a Christian. Well, if we were to categorize the way in which that Christianity works itself out in your life, would you put public worship, family worship, private worship, would you put those high on the list of explanations that show that you are in Christ? Because these things are central to what it means to be in Christ. Central to our gratitude, our central expressions of being a Christian. As you come to sing psalms and to hear the word of God read and preached, as you come to witness baptisms like we will next week, and as you take the Lord's Supper, and as you pray, and as you're here from week to week, knowing that you are before God in a special way, do you find yourself grateful? As you think about what you're feeling and experiencing and wanting to reflect as you're sitting in the pews, is gratitude a portion of that? Is it central to that? I hope that you can say that that is the case. Because you know, the fact is that as humans, as those made in the image of God, you are designed to worship. Romans 1 teaches us that. Everybody worships. Everybody. The question, though, is who is being worshipped or what is being worshipped? Someone or something will take your expression of gratitude. Is it the Lord? And we see that this gratitude is not only seen in worship for David, but we also see that he blesses the people. That's verse 18. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And I would say that is reflective of the Aaronic blessing. That he has the Levites, again, doing their duties of pronouncing benediction upon the people of God. We don't know how long it's been since any of them have heard that benediction. It's clear that biblical religion, the religion of the Old Testament, has been put away for some time. But he blesses the people of God. And then that benediction is accompanied by David providing the people with gifts of bread and meat and sweets. That's verse 19. Out of gratitude for what God has provided for him, David shares with the people of God. He provides for them as well. It's as if here David is calling on the people to join in the celebration of gratitude. David shares the blessings of God with the people because he's grateful. So the application is, what ways are you sharing out of gratitude? Do you share part of your life with the people of God? Do you share a portion of who you are? Or do you share out of the blessings that God has given to you? Do you bless the church with income or other gifts or the gift of your time? These are expressions of gratitude for what God has done. These are ways, whether it's time or money or sharing your life or your home, these are ways of expressing gratitude for what God has done. And this is partly how the church of Jesus Christ advances. And friends, as I was thinking about this week, I was thinking about the number of people that I know that were converted to Christianity around college age. So late high school, college, huge time of when God works in the hearts of men and women to convert them to Christ. In talking with people that have had that experience, many of them will tell you, and this might sound like heresy 101 or big red flags, but just hear me out. They will tell you that the community is what first drew them to God rather than the doctrine. The fact that people shared life with them meant more initially than what the teaching of Christianity was. Think about that. I'm not saying that community is more important than teaching. I'm not saying doctrine doesn't matter. I'll give all those caveats. You know, you don't need to write the session. But what I'm saying is that sharing life as Christians, blessing others out of gratitude, will have consequences that may be eternal. David here shares life, shares blessings, shares food with the people of God. He produces gratitude. But I want to show you one more thing that is produced by being before the Lord. And this one may come as a surprise, but it ought not to come as a surprise. Being before the Lord produces division. Look at verse 16 and then verses 20 and 23. Verse 16 says, "As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." And then 20 to 23, David returns to his house. Michal comes to meet him and says, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows uncovers himself." And David says to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father, above all his house, to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord. And I will celebrate before the Lord. I will make myself more contemptible than this. I will be abased in your eyes, but by the female servants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Now, David's worship in the presence of God brings dancing. And we know that dancing is here a cultural expression. It's not something that is ever commanded in the Word of God. We could really put it in that category where we put postures of prayer. Remember, several weeks ago in the afternoon, we talked about posture of prayer, how some people stand, some people kneel, we sit, others are bowing before the face of God. And the Scriptures have this variety of postures of prayer. Here, David is dancing before the Lord, and we can call that a cultural expression because nowhere in the Scriptures are we commanded that we have to dance during times of worship. They are things that are almost indifferent to the worship of God. Now, David, as he's dancing before the Lord, his wife, Michal, despises him. Now, what I want you to notice about David and Michal is that David is placed in the middle of the people of God, isn't he? There's the ark, and there's the people of God, and there's David in the midst of them, and they're dancing, and they're celebrating, and they're being renewed in the fact that Old Testament religion is being restored. And the Word of God here is showing us that division by putting Michal in the house, looking out the window, bringing judgment and daggers on the people of God. They're separated. It's as if Michal is not a part of this celebration of the ark being returned to Jerusalem. She's there and she's despising the whole event. Michal is alone, not participating in the worship of God. The Scripture is showing us that she is not a believer. She was not showing to be a part of being before the face of God, but instead is on the outside looking in and bringing judgment upon the people of God, all from the outside. Now, friends, I know some of you experience criticism by loved ones because of your faith. Some of you experience cruel mocking because of how you choose to worship. This ought not to surprise you. This not ought to surprise you. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself told us that He came not to bring peace, but a sword. He told us about the division between father and son, mother and daughter, husband and wife. And friends, this is a part of the counting, the cost of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us that we will suffer persecution for His sake. Now, friends, if the extent of your persecution is that you are being mocked by family and friends, give God praise for that. Because we know that in China right now, even today, brothers and sisters have been arrested and beaten for their faith. We don't see that level of division here in the text. We're not talking about that intense persecution, but we do see that division here, even between husband and wife. Michael is mocking her husband, and Michael is showing that she stands outside of Christ, and she looks at his worship and his faith as something that is foolish rather than something that is good. And often that division, like we see in the text, it results in judging motives, doesn't it? When one who is opposed to your Christian faith or the fact that you are a Reformed Christian, when there is that sort of division that is made, often it comes with those who are opposed giving their opinion as to what is actually going on. That's what we see here. Michael, verse 20, accuses David of having ill motives. She believes that he is dancing for the ladies, doesn't he? Or doesn't she? She says, "I'm sure the young ladies loved seeing you dance like that, David." Now, I might add that this feeling of judgment that Michael has may be the result of David sinning against her by taking on other wives. So there's some sense in which we should look at what Michael says and say, "You know, sister, I hear you." But the fact is that David is not in this instance dancing for the ladies. He's before God in worship. That's how he answers. Verse 21. "I was before the Lord." It's almost as though David doesn't even take time to go down the rabbit trails that Michael is opening up. There's no way he can put all those fires out, so to speak. But he comes back and he looks at the big picture and he reminds Michael, I'm worshiping before the Lord. And he almost lets that be his whole argument in the division. But he does one more thing. He ends this section with these strong words that sound like he's being harsh, but in a sense he's being prophetic. He's seeing Jesus Christ come through the Davidic line. He's reminding Michael that door to the messianic hope has been closed off to her and to her family. And the narrator at the end tells us that Michael dies without children. Well, why does he tell us that? Is it because she's mocking David? No, it has nothing to do with that. It's because the line of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will come through David, but not through Saul. That door has been closed. Friends, are you before the Lord? As the divisions that happen in your life come, whether it's co-workers or friends or family members, are you before the Lord? Are you able to answer with a clean and clear conscience that you are standing before the Lord in the righteousness of Christ? Those who honor God, God will honor. We are to stand before His presence. And friends, as you are before the Lord, in your life there should be fruit. There should be humility. And there should be gratitude, even in the midst of division. Are you before the Lord? Amen.